How can you tell if a child has an eating disorder? I'm Lucy Ann Lance, and that's the topic on our A Healthier Michigan today from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Our expert is Shanti Apollo. She's a registered dietitian and health and wellness spokesperson at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. It can be so tragic to see a young person going through an eating disorder, and there are many different levels of eating disorders. Is this still problematic across America today, Shanti?
Yeah, it's estimated that about 6 to 13% of adolescents are affected by eating disorders. It is actually on the rise. And what's interesting is that there was a study released recently that was out of Ontario, and they looked at about 11,000 pediatric eating disorder cases from 2002 to 2019.
How do these manifest? What do they look like? When we say eating disorders, what are we talking about?
Right. So the different types that we can start with is anorexia nervosa. So this is someone who has an intense fear of gaining weight. And so they might have these irrational impulsive behaviors. They might have a distorted body image, and it can have really serious manifestations. They can, you know, of course, be malnourished and become extremely frail, weak, emaciated, right? And then there's bulimia nervosa. So there's this kind of uncontrolled binge eating episode, and then someone uses this compensatory behavior after. So that could be vomiting, it could be using laxatives and things like that. And then finally, binge eating disorder. And this is where a person eats more rapidly than normal. Maybe they're eating alone because they're embarrassed about how much food they eat in a sitting, and sometimes it's triggered by environmental factors. So all that to say, what they saw was in this study that the hospitalization rates increased 139% from 2002 to 2019. So that's very disturbing. But what even more they found was that young male patients seem to be experiencing this at a higher rate. That's really surprising, because when we look at eating disorders historically, people tend to look at a young white female. But instead, in these young male patients, the rate was 416% over that 18-year period that they analyzed in the study.
Oh, that is incredible. Do we know what's driving the increase in eating disorders in young people?
Yeah, so it's likely because we're having better measures to detect what's going on, right? And physicians and clinicians all over the place are looking at more than just that stereotypical white female patient. So it's exciting in a way that we are understanding that this can manifest in anyone during adolescence, especially as we see more social media use and things like that drive it, right? But of course, it is sad, and I think it's important to know what to look for as a parent.
Even though the numbers are increasing, it is heartening to know that people are getting help. The fact that you're seeing more people getting treatment could mean better awareness, and we are more accepting of the fact that these individuals need some sort of therapy and help. Having said that, though, I think it's hard for parents to discern these kinds of abnormalities in their child's eating, because in many cases it's easy to hide, isn't it?
Sometimes it can be. And I think breaking this up into two different categories of what to look for can be helpful. So the first one we can talk about is emotional and behavioral. So this can be things like maybe your child is interested in these like new fad diets. I know that during adolescence, this is especially something that kids look into, right? Maybe they're wanting to skip meals. Maybe they've had lunch, breakfast, you're not sure, but they don't want to have dinner because they're still full, or they ate something right after school, right? Maybe they're uncomfortable eating around others. You might see them withdrawing from friends and activities. And I think overall, just having different food rituals and being obsessed with food in general, calories, dieting, weight, are big warning signs.
What should a parent do if they notice that?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to recognize is that, you know, people don't choose to have eating disorders. So being very, you know, consistent with your support as they help to fight these. But you know, starting with your primary care physician for your child, that's the starting place, right? Talking to them if, you know, I've seen these symptoms, I've seen these emotional and behavioral changes. I've also seen some physical changes, maybe like dental problems. For example, when someone is has bulimia, they may, you know, vomit after eating, and that can cause that acidic kind of buildup on their teeth. And if they brush their teeth right away after that, that can definitely cause some dental damage. So if you're noticing things like that, definitely talk to your child's primary care provider. And then after that, there is kind of a whole team that's able to tackle some of these issues between, you know, behavioral, dietitian, physicians, nurse. There's so many different people on this team.
You said something interesting, the fact that this isn't something that people choose to have. You don't choose to have an eating disorder. And if that's the case, what is actually going on to drive them into this? This is something that is in their brain?
So it does lean more towards a mental illness. And as we're starting to understand more about mental illnesses and the treatment of them, that's certainly part of the puzzle, right? But then there are all these environmental factors that can play a role in someone developing an eating disorder. So the way that someone has a relationship with food and how that develops during their childhood. So, of course, parents can do things to prevent in terms of how they speak about food and things like that. So not making foods completely off limits, not using foods as rewards or punishments. Those can really foster healthy behaviors around food. But of course, there is the other link to it. And so it is so important to address that kind of mental aspect and think about the way that social media and things like that affect your child.
This has been going on for so long. It became quite a concern maybe 20 or so years ago, but it's still a problem. And those numbers are rising, as Shanti pointed out. Our guest is Shanti Apollo from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. We're talking about signs of eating disorders in children. By the way, what ages are we talking about?
So generally, it's going to be adolescents. And when we look at the numbers, it is we actually saw an increase in hospitalizations among younger patients. So that's ages 12 to 14 where they saw that stark increase. So really stepping into those teenage years is when we're seeing children more at risk.
We're still concerned, though, about a child who is overweight, and it's how we handle that is important, that we don't drive, you know, this kind of behavior where they go overboard. So how do you do that?
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be case by case and where a child is in terms of being overweight, right? Generally, the healthiest way for a child to kind of stop being overweight is to grow into their body as they're growing, right? As they're going through growth spurts and things like that. But again, there are more severe cases of obesity where maybe some more drastic measures are taken. So that's why I want to say, you know, it really is based on your child and where they are in their development, and also what their physician knows about their history.
So you want to handle it in a positive way. The problem is there are so many outside influences when it comes to being fat in our society today. And that's really difficult. Even though parents may handle it right, maybe parents start doing more family activities, going to the park more often and doing fun things like that to get your child moving. And so that's a positive way of handling it. But you still have people making fun of people in classrooms. Mm-hmm. You have the outside media influences of what the perfect body is supposed to look like. And now we've got social media adding to the mix too, and influencing young people. It is hard. They've got it coming at them from all avenues, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it used to be when we were growing up, we'd see the magazines at the side of the grocery store. And now it's more than just the checkout lane that we're seeing these kind of societal norms of thinness and thin privilege and things like that.
Yeah. All the more reason for parents to stay on top of these issues and maybe even control that kind of behavior of their usage of social media, et cetera, to avoid those influences infiltrating your child's mind. Great topic. And this happens to be an important week for these issues, right, Shanti?
Yeah, it is Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And so it's just a great time to be talking about this. And as we talk about these signs and symptoms, just bringing more awareness to it and, you know, recognizing maybe there's someone in your life who can have some help.
And start by talking with your child's doctor if you notice any of these signs of eating disorders in your child. Our thanks to Shanti Apollo, registered dietitian and health and wellness spokesperson at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. Parents, you can get more information on this online right now. Go to ahealthiermichigan.org. Blue Cross has set up this website. Lots of great health initiatives on there, recipes and ways for you to handle this. And the signs are posted up there as well. Again, ahealthiermichigan.org.